Along with US markets, the FTSE 100 has hit record highs this year, dumbfounding many analysts who expected the UK's flagship index to endure rocky times in the lead up to Brexit. To discuss his views on the market and some of the sectors within it, I'm now joined by Trevor Green, head of UK equities at Aviva Investors. It does seem as if one of the main spurs to the market doing reasonably well is what's happening in the United States. So are we really being led by the Americans at the moment?
I think there's two big things driving markets, and you're right to point out the US. And the reason why the US is important is such a large percentage of our earnings from our UK companies, especially the larger ones, come from America. So that means companies with sterling falling have this automatic translation boost as their earnings come back to the UK. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that if we look back on Brexit, when did that take place? 7 months ago. And actually what we saw for the second half of last year was steady, consistent, especially economic numbers coming out of the UK, especially on the consumer side. So I think that's what caught people by surprise and certainly given people reassurances that as things stand, UK economy is looking fine. And we've got the benefit of won the translation in the US.
I mean, it is a relatively mature bull market now, isn't it? Though perhaps one that's been less marked by sort of feverish activity than some before. So are you worried at the length of time that the market's been going up, or does that not concern you at all?
It's interesting that, because markets are known in parlours as going up a wall of worry, and it sort of feels very much like that with markets going up, and there hasn't been huge particular moments when one's gone, that particular M&A announcement or companies doing one or other thing or that IPO's calling the top. Actually, it's been steady good news flow across the board. And remember, what do markets do? They look forwards. So what we're looking at, especially in the US, largest trading partner for us in the UK, key economy, is actually an acceleration of growth there. So actually we're coming into this results season in the UK in this week and next, looking with sort of optimism for that season.
Just before we go into some more details then on sectors, going back across to the United States, where people are choosing to focus on the more attractive parts of Trump's package, or the elements they think is going to benefit markets, higher infrastructure spending, but the economy is doing well. There are talks there that interest rates are likely to be going up. Does the level of UK interest rates worry you, the thought that perhaps we might have to mirror the Americans, or do you think we're now capable of seeing stronger interest rates?
You are correct. Historically, we've been very correlated to US rates. I think this time round it is different. And why is it different this time round? It's because we are going to see inflation continue to pick up in the UK. But a lot of that's due to the currency. So when you have a weaker currency, you import inflation. So we've got an MPC who are very aware of this, and they don't want to be seen or don't want to put rates up while potentially we walk into a slightly slower UK economy. So if we look at the moment, employment growth, still good, but it is actually slowing a bit, for example.
So as you mentioned, one of the reasons that the FTSE's been doing so well is because of the performance of the pound. That's not true for all companies necessarily, but we still should be looking at individual sectors. The market doesn't necessarily all just go up in tandem. So what sectors are you most interested at looking at for this earnings season? Where are the areas you think there's potential, and which do you think might have sort of reached a level of maturity that makes them less interesting going forward?
One sector I want to pick up on is the media sector. And actually what interests me is actually some of the sort of mid-smaller names in the media sector. So just touch on two, Money Supermarket and Zoopla. It's not just because of their quirky adverts that I like them. Money Supermarket, largest price comparison site. This is a growth market. All of us are just feeling more comfortable using price comparison sites, so we're going to use them more. So I expect that's got sort of structural tailwinds to help it. And Zoopla, another business where what's interesting is they've slightly diversified themselves away from being just another Rightmove. And we've seen the management do recent acquisitions, including things like Uswitch. And I think that that's a business which is interesting now it's expanded its market. In terms of other sectors, just touch on industrials, which covers a multitude of names. I think one name just wanted to point out, which reports soon, is Melrose. Melrose is a company which did a big acquisition last year in the States called Nortec, did it in July last year. And we're going to get greater clarity on what they're going to do with that business. So I think that that's a sort of other highlight I'd look out for.
We've had quite a few companies recently, and some quite large ones, announcing untoward things with their results, either fresh profit warnings or, to use this awful phrase, kitchen sinking, where you think a company's coping with the kitchen sink and then suddenly it finds there's another kitchen sink behind that one. Is it worrying you how often this is happening?
I mean, one you're obviously alluding to is Next. And Next has been and is a phenomenally well-run company. But what's actually happening with them is that we've got competition coming into their space. We've got this whole dynamic which isn't going away in terms of all of us feeling more comfortable buying online. So there's a business where actually it's doing as well as it can, but it's tough fighting against the online offerings out there.
Now, you talked about one of the drivers for the market being the fall in the pound and the way in which earnings that are denominated in dollars look so much more attractive. But of course, if you look from outside the UK, the fall in the value of the pound could actually present an opportunity for snapping up British companies. We saw the very short-lived bid for Unilever. It must be one of the shortest bids on record. But clearly, there's a thought that, you know, there's a for sale sign up over the UK. Or do you not feel that is the case?
It's interesting. Until we walked into the Unilever situation, which I'll come on to on Friday, already this year, we've seen three companies in the UK, RPC, Elementis and Reckitt Benckiser, all do stakes in the US. So I was querying, shouldn't it be the other way around? And lo and behold, we've seen the Kraft Unilever. So correct, very short-lived. In my 24 years as a fund manager, I've never actually heard the phrase amicably agreed to withdraw.
they're suddenly best friends.
Yeah, I mean, what I can say is that I think what's clear is this was leaked early. They didn't want to go hostile. And that's why they've withdrawn. And so the situation is how it works is they can make no further bid for 6 months, except for if they talk to management or someone else, which is very unlikely, comes in. Mm. So, I mean, to answer your question, yes, expecting more companies, especially from the US, looking at UK names.
Though, as you point out, it is quite interesting. It hasn't stopped British companies seeking value abroad.
Well, a couple of those names, especially RPC and Elementis, this is just in line with their strategies. And I think what's reassuring is that we've had Brexit and a lot of these companies actually paused, reflected and gone, actually, no, it's OK for us to carry on our strategy, investing in the business. Both logical deals. Mm. And I would expect other companies to do the same over the course of this year.
Do you have much of an interest in banks? We've got the banks reporting, of course. And in the States, that's one sector that's been doing incredibly well because Donald Trump has said that he will reduce regulation on banks. That isn't necessarily going to apply in the UK. How do you feel? I mean, we've seen a sort of fillip in RBS shares because they're not going to have to get rid of Williams & Glynn's. A lot of people are finding out the government has got rid of most of its shares in Lloyd's, that perhaps that's a bit more attractive. Do you think the banks have turned a corner?
We're literally just about to walk into the results season. One thing I'd highlight is the sector in the US, and in particular Barclays and HSBC, performed very well in the fourth quarter of last year. And why is that the case? Well, Barclays and HSBC are the two with the big US exposure. And you and I as consumers don't like rates rising, but the banks do. So they benefit from that. In terms of the other names you've highlighted, this is a sector which has been out of favour for a long time. Hopefully, the market's getting slightly more optimistic, more for the bigger picture issue of, are we going to see less pressure on them in terms of regulation? That would be taken as good news.
The other area which is of importance to the UK, perhaps, is pharmaceuticals, where what happens in America can be incredibly important. And again, on the sort of contrary view, I mean, both Clinton and Trump both seem to think that perhaps pharmaceuticals are making somehow too much profit, as the idea you sort of actually make money off the drugs you've taken years to develop is somehow a harmful thing.
I'm not here to second guess Trump's tweets, but I would say that we are going to have ups and downs on sentiment in terms of drug pricing, and we can't get away from that. The sector, just from the stock market perspective, has fallen a long way in the last 6 months off the back of this. So some of this is actually being priced in, but it is something which is going to be on the agenda.
Are there sectors you would steer clear of or be underweight in at the moment that you really just think are not terribly attractive going forward? Or do you feel you want to be exposed right across the market?
In terms of consumer spending going forwards, we've had three and a half good years of consumer spending. My concern is that with inflation picking up, I'm not convinced wage inflation will marry it. So I think consumer spending could get a bit tougher. So for me, you've got to be very selective in retail. Names which we at investors still like include B&M, which is value retailer. So you've got to be quite stock specific. The great days of just owning consumer spending names has probably passed.
Now, before we had the EU referendum, and immediately afterwards, of course, there was a lot of concern that somehow Brexit was going to lead to a great deal of uncertainty. What I was told, uncertainty is bad news for markets. Seem to have been the case so far. Are you nervous about the process as we're about to invoke Article 50 and have 2 years of negotiations? Do you think we'll get turbulence because of Brexit, or just because it's so uncertain, we just have to look through it?
The thing how people should view Brexit from a stock market perspective is that reactions, results from it, we're not going to be something which was coming to come in days, weeks, months. It's going to be years. We're going to be able to reflect back on it in 2 or 3 years' time and then say, what were the implications? I think what I suggest people do is in this results season is look at what are companies doing with their dividends? What message are they sending? And secondly, what message are they sending in terms of investment? If companies are surprising on the upside with a dividend, that's a pretty positive message. If they're continuing with their investment program, that also is good news.
And you're concerned about dividend cover, and there are some companies notably that are paying dividends, perhaps almost doing it out of thin air.
Well, the largest one is Royal Dutch. And what I'd point out about Royal Dutch is it's yielding 6.8%, which is highlighting the market is nervous about that dividend. But actually, what we've seen since the start of this year is they're really getting on with their disposal program. 30 billion is a big number, but we've seen various assets, for example, in North Sea, some gas assets, some joint ventures. They've actually been getting on with the disposals. So actually, one's getting a bit more comforted. That would definitely be one in terms of in the spotlight for a dividend compared to I'm more reassured now than I would have been, let's say, 3 months ago.
Yes. You talk about the level of the Shell dividend, and I think the FTSE as a whole is yielding almost 4%. Is that a sign of worry, or are you quite comforted by that?
I mean, I think one has to take it down to sort of individual names. But as a whole, what it's telling you is that companies in general, balance sheets are pretty healthy. They're confident in their cash outlook, so actually happy to continue paying dividends and to the rate of growth they're showing.
So if we do see any sort of sudden profit taking or the market sort of changing direction for a while, you're not going to be worried. You're more likely to be topping up rather than crying in a corner.
Yes, try not to cry in the corner. But I think it does come back to this point of looking at actually what a company is saying in this results season, that and the implications. Companies are making statements and doing actions which have long-term implications, and that's where you're going to get confidence.
And as a matter of interest then, with results season, is there a way in which, as the results come through, it sort of affects sentiment of the market generally, rather than just simply being a number of discrete businesses who are making announcements? Does it somehow set the tone for the ensuing quarter?
I think it does at the individual, at the sector level. For example, if you start getting a couple of house builders being very reassured, then it will take up the rest of the sector in the same way. If we have one of the banks talking reassuringly on regulation, the others will respond as well. When we get into something like industrials, then it gets quite specific. Do you have oil exposure? Do you have industrial exposure? Where's your exposure? So it does vary. It's not just a general sentiment's good, right, sentiment's bad.
Well, we'll see how the results season progresses. Trevor, thank you very much indeed. That's Trevor Green, head of UK equities at Aviva Investors.
Thank you.